Hey everybody, welcome to Rock and Roll Shinsu Chu. My name is Gabe Estill and I'm here with my wonderful co-hosts Dennis Levi Leach and Jonathan Getz. Good morning, fellas. How's it going?
Good. All right.
Good. Well, we haven't had one of these in a while, folks, but this is a Rock and Roll Shinsu Chu B-side. So that's a shorter episode, usually on a sort of a kind of a specialized topic or a one particular focus. So today, this one's kind of, we obviously try to come up with topics about baseball and rock and roll that apply, that appeal to a wide audience. And this one, you know, will apply to a lot of people that are our friends, certainly, appeal to a lot of people that are our friends. But this is kind of one for us, guys. So I'm taking that approach. If you've been following the news, I'll recap for our audience, music news, on Thursday, Rich Robinson of the Guitarists of the Black Crowes, one of our favorite bands here on Rock and Roll Shinsu Chu, certainly a band that all three of the hosts of this podcast have devoted a lot of time to and really kind of seen all over the country and blah, blah, blah. We like them a lot. So Rich put out a statement saying that the band had officially broken up. The band had been on hiatus for about the last year and a half. Well, a little less than that, actually. I think they played their last show in December of 2013. And, this is their third hiatus within the last, 13, 14 years, I think. Third hiatus since 2001, I believe. Nothing new for the Crowes to be on a hiatus, but Rich's press release said that the band officially had broken up. And the breakup was due to some infighting between Chris Robinson and Rich Robinson. Apparently, this is all according to the press release, apparently over some financial differences. Chris wanting a larger share of the money. I don't know if it was just for the tour that they were planning for this year, for the 25th anniversary of Shake Your Money Maker, or if it was just from here on out, royalties, merchandise, whatever. Those details haven't really emerged yet, but Chris wanted more money than his brother and longtime drummer Steve Gorman, another original member of the band. Those are the three guys that have been within the Black Crowes ever since that first record came out. Since then, there's been a lot of lineup changes, a lot of different guitar players, all pretty damn good ones, might I add, as well as, bass player and keyboard. There's been some rotations there as well. So, guys, I want to talk a little bit about the recent developments. We're not going to spend the whole show speculating kind of what happened. Only they really know what happened and what went down. We know we've got Rich's press release, and then also Steve Gorman, the drummer who I mentioned a few moments ago, has a popular sports podcast, radio show, I should say.
Steve Gorman Sports.
Steve Gorman Sports, yes, listen to it. It's on Fox Sports, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. It's on the radio, okay. You'll be able to find it if you're out there. It's a good show. Steve is a witty, articulate guy who can riff on music and sports with the best of them. He had mentioned that he basically substantiated Rich's press release, saying that, what Rich said is true. That much we know, okay? No word yet from Chris's camp. Chris is in the middle of a pretty active music project, the Chris Robinson Brotherhood. They're touring. I think they're in Chicago here, actually, in a couple weeks. So I wanted to get you guys' take on it, see what you think. But also, we're going to spend a little more time talking about why the band appeals to us, our histories with them, maybe do a brief kind of assessment of their body of work, and then maybe talk about what the future holds, I like to say it's a cliche, but I like to say never say never, and I'll keep that outlook. So anyway, Levi, why don't we start with you, man? What, obviously everybody's disappointed about the news of the last week, last few days, really. Any thoughts on it, man, that we haven't touched on yet?
No, I mean, when I first heard it, was saddening, like deeply saddening, because they're one of my favorite bands. And, when you emotionally invest in an artist like that for so long, when it goes down in a ball of flames, it's disappointing.
Yeah.
And as far as I've seen on the Facebook sites, like Chris Robinson Brotherhood, that camp, they haven't even acknowledged any of it.
Right.
And so...
And you would assume they share some fan, the fan base.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. And
you know,
so,
I mean, it wouldn't be a Chris Robinson Brotherhood probably if it wasn't for the Black
There's
Bros.
No Chris Robinson official Facebook. There's Chris Robinson Brotherhood. Right, so, like, right. if he was going to release a statement from his camp, I would think it would be through that medium.
Right.
But I just in my mind, Steve and Rich were always the two cool brothers. You know what I mean? His name might as well been, you know, Robinson. And so for him to want to do his other two brothers like that is just kind of like, wow, man, that's kind of.
He's not
the only reason I ever went to a show. You know what
right.
I mean?
Oh, no.
Like,
no,
I went to go see the other guys, you know, and so it's.
If you've read some stuff about what other musicians have said about the guy.
Yeah, no, yeah.
This doesn't really seem like it's that out of the ordinary,
yeah.
I hate to say it, but...
He's supposedly like a modern-day Axel, right?
Yeah,
so,
right. Yeah.
It's just disappointing.
It was disappointing, yeah. I was like Levi, I was saddened. I wasn't that shocked, you know? I mean, because, as I mentioned, you know, the Crows have always been on kind of shaky ground anyway, you know? I mean, with... Mm-hmm. Chris and Rich always fighting, and the large amount of lineup changes that they've had beyond sort of the core three within the band. You kind of always knew that we were enjoying something that might not have had a lot of finality to that might not have had the longest life. But at the same time, they were able to, through all this turmoil, you know, survive for 25 years in the music industry, and you know, be pretty popular and. Yeah. Doing it, so yeah, it is saddening. Jonathan, what about you, man? What was your initial reaction when you heard the news?
You know, I've for the past few years, I've made fun of bands that announce that they're breaking up. I think it's dumb to announce that you're breaking up usually, because it usually doesn't. They don't stick to it. Like, they get back together within a couple years anyway, or. You know, it's not as if you're a company that's going bankrupt, which maybe they are, that requires a public announcement of some sort, because there's a lot of music out there, and I can, you know, I can find something else to listen to if it's not your back catalog. So when I saw the announcement, you know, I took it with a grain of salt, because you see those announcements all the time, and that, you know, there's usually a but the thing that was different with this one was that there were some specifics in there, and that was a little worrying. The idea of, you know, Rich having to give up his equal share and Steve being taken on as an hourly wage or something, which to mention those specific things, I think added some credence to the finality of it. And so that was. Pretty disturbing, and then I thought, well, maybe that they're just doing this to call out Chris because he's being a dick, and they wanted to, you know, publicly shame him into changing
apologizing
his,
or
yeah,
changing
but,
his terms.
Yeah, yeah, and but you know, we're saying this not knowing where he's coming from. Not that it seems like that there is a valid angle he could be coming from to suggest such a thing. But when it comes to the business side of these bands and musicians, we only see a fraction of the story. But now that I've had more time to think about it and hearing Steve's comments on his radio show, I don't think that this was just a simple public shaming in order to get him to change his mind. It sounds like this is something that's been discussed for a long time. And, you know, Steve said that they had a whole, 25th anniversary tour planned, but it all kind of fell apart. And he made comments in an October issue of Rolling Stone that mentioned it as well. So, this isn't something that just developed over the last week and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, and when I say, you know, other people have talked about Chris being difficult, you know, that's been pretty well documented, I think, particularly, you know, among the people in his own band talking about how he can be difficult. But, you know, a lot of great artists are difficult. So when I want to retread a little bit, you know, and say that, you know, I don't know what the guy's thinking. I don't know
him.
I've never met him. You know what I mean? All I know is how he comes across. boss. You know, that's all I know. Yeah, and he can, you know, if you go back and look at old interviews, yeah, he can come across like a fucking asshole sometimes, you know. Yeah. He can shoot off his mouth, and say things that seem kind of unfounded at times.
But at the same time, a lot of that was kind of fun to watch and listen
to. It was, yeah, it made it entertaining. Well, absolutely. Yeah. I like my singers to have some asshole.
Swagger,
you know?
Yeah. It gave him swagger. It gave the band swagger.
For sure.
In the early days, for sure.
In the early days, right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I guess what some people, and Gorman's, it's his cousin, right, that's on the podcast with him?
I believe it's his brother.
It's his brother, okay. Yeah.
Jeffrey Gorman was a, he was like a stagehand or a tech or...
Yeah, if you ever watch any of that old Horde footage from 95, I know Jonathan went to one of those shows, actually. They had a guy, like, in a crow's suit, and then another person, like, in a devil suit on stage. Jeffrey would dress up as, I think, the crow, I think, yeah.
Dude, so, that is some obscure knowledge there.
Thank you.
Laying it on you.
As I mentioned, I like the man. Right?
Yeah, we might be Black Crowes.
Yeah, right. I think if I ever... Well, I've met some people in the band. I've never hung out with them. If I ever met Chris, he'd probably just be creeped out anyway. So it's probably good that we never crossed.
You're like,
that,
so is your shoe size still 11?
Yeah. In my eyes, like, we just sit around, you know, with, like... Like on a couch and like listen to our favorite Traffic albums all night together, you know. Where instead he'd probably run out the door, you know.
I want to say quickly though that, I mean, as bittersweet as it is, I would almost rather have it be this way than to see another tour with Jackie Greene as the guitar player.
No. Okay, all right, I'm sorry.
I just was not impressed with that version of the Black Crowes when I saw them with the Tedeschi Trucks Band.
So you would rather take no version of the Black Crowes over that version of the Black Crowes?
Yeah.
Wow.
I liked him. I liked Jackie Greene.
Where I saw the band like heading once he got in, I just was like, I don't know.
Where were they headed? I mean...
Well, like... I just... Like, it almost became like... I had never felt that way at a Black Crowes show before, but it felt like I was seeing a nostalgia act.
Well, and when I saw him in Kansas City a couple years ago on that last tour, I think it was, and they had some killer set lists that tour, but that show here at the casino was the lamest greatest hits set list I've ever heard any band ever play.
Yeah, and so that was disappointing to me. Like, it was like, oh, they got this young hired hand kid playing guitar. They're playing this kind of weak set list. I didn't want to see him go down that route to where it's like they're the next Styx. You know what I mean? Where they're going to just keep touring forever. They'll always bring new guys in, more new guys, more new guys.
It does get frustrating to be like, you know, who's the guitarist? You know, who's to guess that every time you hear that they're going to go back on the road? Because who knows? You know, this tour that was supposed to happen this year and next year, who knows if it would have been Jackie, you know? I mean, I don't know.
Right, yeah. Right. You know,
I'm hoping, and I know Levi probably likes this guy a little more than I do, just with where Chris is, I was praying to God that it wasn't that Neil fucking Casal, all right? That guy that's in...
he's
pantomiming Jerry Garcia fucking he's not a
Black Crowes type of...
No. And I should... Like, he was... I mean, he played with Ryan Adams. He's a good guitarist. And he's good at what he does, but he would not be a fit on, like, Southern Harmony songs or something like that. Yeah, I had a fear in the back of my mind that it's going to be him on guitar.
Like, I want to do a short survey here, because I know the answer would be, like, besides Mark, we would probably, all three of us, would next pick Audley as probably maybe.
Yeah.
If you had to choose between Luther Black Crowes or Jackie Black Crowes, which would you choose?
I would choose Jackie.
Yeah,
I don't. I think Luther is a real. Again, this is coming from a guy that doesn't play guitar, so please bear that in mind. Luther is kind of how I feel about like Derek Trucks. You know, I don't think they're very versatile players.
Yeah, like you know right away who it is when he plays.
What's that now?
You know right away if it's Derek Trucks or Luther Dickinson. It's like they don't adapt their style to the band they're in.
They don't. No, and therefore it doesn't really weave in seamlessly, like, you know, Mark Ford would, or
give me Paul Stacey.
Yeah, right. Yeah. who I think is kind of underrated. I think
definitely. Oh yeah, I enjoyed seeing him with the band.
Yeah, and he seems like he's a guy that, you know, he came in like, you know, like fucking Mark had like quit a week before.
Yeah,
and,
by like, facts, right?
And like, yeah, like they just the guy came in and, you know, did two tours and he didn't, I don't know if he played on them, but he oversaw a production on two records, you know, so yeah. He always seemed like, in my opinion, a good kind of behind the scenes member of the band over these last, you know, 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
So I liked him on the production end. If they were going to record another record, I'd want
What's crazy to think is there are now so many ex members that we could create like a side band.
I didn't realize that if you go all the way back to Mr. Crow's Garden, their original drummer was Jeff Sullivan of Driving and Crying.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I said Steve, yeah. Steve played with Mr. Crow's Garden, but I guess not from the very beginning.
Right,
so,
like in 1987, I think he...
Right.
Which is basically the beginning.
Which makes sense. Those are all Georgia musicians, you know, so...
Along with Keith, don't call me Wally Joyner.
Nice. Yeah, well, I guess, why don't we move on to this, since we've talked a little bit about, you know, the breakup and what's happened. Do you guys want to talk a little bit about maybe some of your favorite memories, either seeing the band or buying a record?
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about those for a few minutes, and then maybe after that we'll talk a little bit about the future of the band and kind of, you know, if there is a future.
Okay.
Yeah. Jonathan, what about you? We'll start with you, and then we'll go to Levi, and then come back to me.
Yeah, sure. So you mentioned, the first time I saw him was that 95 Horde tour.
Yeah.
And so that was Amorica driven. I heard a lot of Amorica stuff. Yeah,
you're the only one of the three of us to see what many would call the golden era.
Yeah. I guess
92
so.
92 to 97. You know, being the cream of the crop in most people's eyes.
Obviously, Horde being an abbreviated set, but still,
right.
Main stage.
Yeah, headliner.
Yeah. And so, you know, then we really started to see them. I guess on the was it the Sold Out tour?
Shown Up.
And that
Public's
was when
first run. Smith's first run.
We made the bumper stickers up at the Eagles Ballroom in Milwaukee, and we made bumper stickers. This was after Eddie Harsh had some intestinal procedure,
right?
And so there was this picture of him. I went on America Online and downloaded it, and. With these bandages across the stomach, and we slapped it on a bumper sticker, and then next to it it said, "Don't blame me, I voted for Eddie Harsh," and
I proudly displayed that on my vehicle for years.
Nice.
I'm looking at it right now. It's on my bulletin board.
I don't have one. I don't know.
You know what? Eddie Harsh has one.
So yeah, we saw him at we hung out after that show, and
Rich Robinson has
and got him one,
and Warren Haynes has one too.
Wow.
I don't know if they still have them. Yeah, we gave one to him.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we gave one to Rich, too. Yeah. I did in Iowa. I gave him, I'm the one that handed out. Jonathan made the stickers, but I was fortunate enough to be able to deliver.
Yeah.
Nice.
I remember, too, because the printer screwed it up, so we got twice as many as we were supposed to, so we had a whole lot more to give out. They actually put them on the wrong side or something. But anyway, So yeah, you know, to bump into the band like that was kind of cool, but you know, catching them on those tours, you know, obviously the Three Snakes emphasized tours, you didn't get those immediately with the Show Nuff and Sold Out tours.
Not setlist wise,
right. But you know, kind of came later with that emphasis again, seeing them here at Memorial Hall. Where in the middle of the show here in Kansas City, the power went out, and it was in the middle of Bring On, which is my favorite Crow song. So I was super bummed, and I was worried that the band was going to be all pissed off because the power went out. And so there was a 15-minute delay. They just walked off the stage, and then the power comes back on, and then they come back on and get all their gear back on and don't say anything. And they pick up Bring On right where they left off. right on the same note, and it was pretty fantastic and memorable.
Not everybody can do that.
No. And because you're kind of worried, you know, is this going to affect the rest of the show? Or are they just going to like play an encore and that's it? But no, they rolled with it, and I guess that just goes to show that, you know, it wasn't always super tense up there. You would fear
drugs
it would
helped.
Be. You know, maybe, yeah. So, those are a few of my favorite Crow's memories.
That's awesome, yeah.
When Mark came back in 05, 06, mm-hmm. that was just, like, I was so excited.
Yeah, it was like Halloween for us.
It was, yeah.
Well, it was Halloween.
Yeah.
I forgot that.
Levi, what about you, man?
Like, a real brief moment was that Halloween run at the Riviera in Chicago where they came out as BCDC. They were the Black Crowes AC/DC cover band. And I don't know if you remember, we were, like, outside around the corner, and we ran into Eddie. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And he had a big laundry bag, like, with him of, like, his dirty clothes. And, like, I don't remember
the exact... They do laundry just like the rest of us.
Well, yeah, no, yeah. Like, the words of the conversation were something like, groupies are great, but they don't like doing laundry. Or something like, it was, like, something to that effect. And so, like, I always have that moment stuck with me. And another really funny moment was at a show. They were going into Cosmic Friend, and we were on the floor level, probably, you know, I don't know, 20 feet back from center stage, and they start, you know, getting into Cosmic Friend, and these two guys in front of us start to get into a fight, and me and Dan, my buddy who was with me, we stop the guys and we're like, hey man, it's Cosmic Friend. It worked. They stopped fighting. And so, like, yeah, that's just like a weird little moment I'll always have at a show of theirs. And just those Mark shows where he came back, man, I cherished those because I didn't get to see him during the 92 to 97. And I don't know. I wish I could have seen more shows. Like, in hindsight, now that I guess it could possibly be over, it's like, damn, I wish I would have gone to more shows, but there's always certain little moments from shows like that you always remember.
Yeah.
How about you, Gabe?
Well, they were, you know, one of the things I always admired, even though, you know, I've seen some greatest hits set lists that were a little mundane. If you look at their set list over the years, they had some shows where they just played whatever the hell they wanted. You know what I mean? Like, absolutely. Like obscure, like Graham Parsons B-sides, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Neil Young B-sides. You know, I like the fact that I would say for, I don't know, about 75% of their live music career, they kind of did whatever the hell they wanted. You know, there were a couple grim years in there where the set list didn't really change and seemed like it was just kind of a by the numbers show. But I felt like, you know, that's one of the things I admire the most is, you know, the live performance and their attitude, you know, with it, whether or not the rest of the audience always dug it. I like the fact that they kind of, might sound cheesy, but kind of took some of us on a journey for a couple hours, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
You know, I looked back, and I've seen 20, I saw him 26 times. That's my show tally. And you know, I've seen some great ones. Like Levi had mentioned, the Halloween show at the Riviera, was phenomenal. You know, they played a lot of tunes that they don't play that often. Oh, yeah.
We got to see Mark do L.A. Which
we got to see Mark do L.A. They did Feathers. They did Title Song.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, really come to some of those mellower tunes that I really have always dug. You know, I got to see him with Jimmy Page. I got to see him at Madison Square Garden, which was great. You know, Trey of Fish came out and played with him. They did Hard to Handle, which just slayed. Gosh, you know, I saw a couple of, I'll admit to, I saw a couple shows that were pretty disappointing. You know, if you go back and look at Chris in like 1999, you know, he's wearing that pimp shirt and, you know,
oh, yeah.
I appreciate the energy of some of those performances, but set list wise, they sucked and they were too fast. I felt like during that era, they played songs too fast.
Well, it was like they like stripped the band down and everybody was wearing white and they're like, okay, guys, now the only thing we're going to allow on tour is Coke.
Yeah, right.
Like everybody's in white doing coke playing the fastest Black Crowes song.
It was a little bit too far for method acting.
I can't imagine what was going through Ed's mind, you know, when they told him on the cover of By Your Side, you got to wear a costume, you know. Right. Whatever. So I've had some, you know, I've had some great times. I've devoted, you know, a good chunk of my life to seeing. I've seen him in New York. I've seen him, you know, I've got to see them all around the Midwest. So it was a good run, you know. If it never happens again, then that's okay too. You know, I'm maybe if like this would have happened like 15 years ago, I probably would have been more bummed, you know, just kind of where I was at in life and, you know, et cetera. But now I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful for all that they gave to their fans. And if they never play another note on stage again, you know, I'm disappointed, but I can live with it. Yeah. You know, there are other bands that are still making really great music. Unlike Levi, I kind of enjoyed the last tour. I thought Jackie Green wasn't necessarily, you know, he wasn't Mark by any means, but he wasn't trying to be, you know. I thought he was a good fit. So I was kind of actually looking forward to seeing if they would keep him around. But I'm kind of in the minority there, it sounds like. So
it was nice that it's easier because they had this second act of, you know, War Paint and Before the Frost. And
which
I thought Before the Frost was
Before the Frost is really good.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. And I was just sorry that they couldn't carry the momentum and get that next record out, because I thought that anything that they did right after Before the Frost would have been like that much better.
Yeah.
To carry that momentum. Because War Paint, they kind of, you know, shake the rust off a little bit. But then Before the Frost was like, wow.
Transition out.
Yeah,
it's a fantastic record. Yeah. And when it came out, I was working in the shop at the record store still, and I bet I got 10 people to buy it just because I was have to own this record.
Yeah.
A definite return to form. The production on it's great. I love that the fact that they recorded it in front of an audience, you know, like it was
LeVon Helm.
You got LeVon looking over, you know, everything.
What's crazy is to show how good that record was. Nowadays, if you want to find a copy of it on vinyl on eBay, you got to at least spend $100.
Wow.
And when that came out 5 years ago, however long it was, we could have got them for $20.
That was a real return to form. And I think that as much as kind of sort of ambivalence that I had around Luther Dickinson's playing, I think it was a mistake to take that hiatus in between 2010 and 2013. I would have liked to have seen them when that 2010 tour wrapped up, go into the studio and record another record, you know?
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen that. Another reason I like Jackie really quickly is because he sings. Luther never sang. Audley never sang. I like sort of the bigger backing vocals, you know, which Mark did and Sven and Rich and,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Paul Stacey sang into a banana.
Right. And then Johnny Cole back in the day was really good backing vocals too.
And as far as like underrated members go, and to get back to Steve, you know, I would, after every live show, I would come out of there thinking Steve Gorman's the goddamn MVP of that band.
Yeah,
he sneaks up on you that way.
One of the best drummers in rock and roll.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think I'm the only one who has seen a Steve-less Black Crowes show.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, they had that Bill DeBrow who was
played in
Rich's solo band. They had him for about a month and a half in 05.
What were the circumstances?
What's that?
Why did they have him?
I don't know. I don't know if they were just like trying to work out the details with Steve still.
Huh.
Because Steve came back, you know, like that guy probably only played maybe 20 shows, something like that.
Yeah.
I saw him in New York at the Easter Sunday in 2005, and that was without Steve, so that was a little bit weird, but I was just so jazzed to see Mark, you know, like
it
kind of eclipsed the fact that Steve wasn't there.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so to wrap it up, though, I'll just go around to each of you. Will they play together again? When I say they, I mean you know, Chris, Rich, and Steve, and probably Sven. I think Sven's, I think he's old school now, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, the only person I could see replacing him is Chris could possibly want Muddy to be
yeah,
in there.
Right, right. Maybe. I don't know.
But other than that, yeah, I could see Sven, if they do return, I would say my answer to your question is possibly.
Okay.
As of right now, I'm leaning more towards no.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't know. I just wish, I could know more of the details. You know what I mean? Yeah. All of us, the inner workings. Cause you know, if it was because Chris wanted, Jackie Green to have a 40% cut, then I'm all for it. No more Black Crows. Rich and Steve that were like, you want to pay Jackie? What?
Yeah.
Oh,
shit. What about you, John? Do you think the three of them will play together?
Yeah, I'll always put my money on the idea of a band getting back together. Not that I'm going to pine for it. Like I said, there's lots of music out there. There's lots of bands out there touring. Yeah. You know, I've seen this band many times. So, but at the very least, it'll be at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions.
I hope so.
Which,
you know,
I mean, they're...
Look who's getting inducted. It's like, yeah. Fuck, man, put them in, you know?
So when... they're eligible, like, this year, or were they eligible
probably
last year?
Probably. Yeah. I would assume this year or last year, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know...
Shaker Moneymaker came out in 90, so...
Right, right. So, yeah, 25 years after your first recording, I believe. So, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think they get in the next 5 years?
I would like to hope, yeah.
I would hope so.
Yeah, like, but yeah, we hope so. But like, yeah. What do you think the voters think?
I don't think so. I mean, like,
I don't
really
think Pearl Jam would get it before.
Oh, yeah, Pearl Jam before the Crows, absolutely. Just in terms of, you know, how many records they sold.
Yeah.
You know, they still play arenas, etc.
I think it's going to take some of that era's bands. Like, I think Pearl Jam's going to have to get in first before
right.
they consider artists like the Black Crows.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, guys, we're lucky, man. While we didn't, you know, get to go to Watkins Glen or anything in 1973. And we all like, you know, music that's more for our parents' generation. With the bands that we really do like, they gave us a lot of good mm-hmm. stuff. You know, they really have.
Yeah.
And so I've been in a reflective mood over the last 48 hours. But I'm also grateful. To answer my question, I would say yes. I'll just even go as far as to say yes. They'll play together. I'd say they'll play together within the next 5 years. Sounds like this one stung a little more than previous ones. Shit, they've been through a lot already. So, mm-hmm. you know, this doesn't seem like it's an obstacle that they can't get over. So.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing kind of has an air of, like, and I think Steve feels this way a lot, too, is, like, they've kind of taken it as far as they could take it for right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so hopefully they get inspired and want to make it, hopefully it's not just a cash grab if they do get
yeah.
together.
Right.
So, yeah.
I hope not either. Well, and most of the things they've done have been pretty genuine. So on that note, I'm going to sign off, guys. Check us out at on Twitter at Rock and Chew, also on Instagram with the same handle, and then also you can like us on Facebook, and we'll have the website Rock Chew going up really soon. I've seen an early version and it looks great, so exciting stuff ahead for this podcast. And while the Black Crowes story may be winding down, hopefully Rock and Roll Shinsu Chews is just beginning. So anyway, you guys have a good one, and we will see you soon.